Thank you, sister. Please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, that's the message this morning, serving God by serving others, serving God by serving others. We don't know exactly how it's going to be when we get to heaven, and that song is just trying to give us a little picture of how it will be. Let's stand together and stretch as we read the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We've been on a series, and we're trying to do everything that we can that when a new Christian, or maybe someone that has not really grown as a Christian, that they come to our church so that we can make it as simple as possible, the spiritual growth path, if you would. And so I'm going to review very, very short amount of time, but I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, every service, we have a different different people at different levels. We have brand new Christians here, brand new Christians. And I have the challenge to try to teach and to preach to brand new Christians. Then we have men that have been on the mission field for 57 years, okay? And so there's a huge, huge gap there. And so that's where we are. And so what we want to do is we want to try to feed the flock of God. We want to try to teach the Bible, but we want everybody to understand the best of our ability. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look, if you would, at verse. Why don't we go down to verse number? Look at verse 9. Now that he ascended. What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, I mentioned in Faithfulness Rally yesterday, when we were had Bible doctrines class, we try to figure out where Jesus went during this time. And we're not going to talk about that this morning. But verse 10, he that descended in the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Verse 12, I want you to focus on this verse here, for the perfecting of the saints. By the way, saints aren't something that you put on your dashboard. That's not a saint. A saint, we're Christians, okay? If you're a Christian, you're a saint. So don't think, oh, wow, the saints, that's all of us. But he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, let me say this before I go read the rest of the verse. God wants all of us to be involved in the work of the ministry. It's not just the hired guns up here. God wants the new Christian. You say, well, I've been saved for a long time. It's time for me to retire. I like what Brother Anderson said when he hit 80. He said, I'm not retiring. He said, I'm refiring for God. And so serving the Lord or doing the work of the ministry is for everybody. You say, oh, I don't have much to offer. Oh, yes, you do. If you're a saint, you have something to offer. And I want to encourage you as we, even today, and we will in weeks to come, listen, we're coming after you, not in a negative way, but we want to help you to experience the joy of serving in the ministry, not necessarily being a pastor or a missionary. Maybe God might call you to do that, but just serving the Lord in the ministry. So he said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, help the saints to grow, help the saints to mature, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's pray together. Father, help us to be what you want us to be, and then we'll do what you want us to do. There's many new Christians in our church, and they have beating in their soul a desire to serve you. And Lord, help us as a pastor and church leadership to help them. And then there's some of us, maybe we've had a little bit of a sabbatical, and that's okay. That's okay. But many of us, we've taken a little time off as far as the work of the ministry, but you want us to get back in. And then there's some don't even understand it. And we pray thy Holy Spirit and your word will help us to understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Please turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Ephesians, excuse me, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul understood life with an eternal perspective. We're only down here for a little while. And he understood that. And by the way, you're not going to understand that unless you meditate on it and think about it. You'll hear it in a passing thought, but Paul understood that. We're just down here for a little while. And Paul goes on to say, I'll be quite honest with you. I want to go to heaven. He said, I want to be with Christ. Okay? But he goes on to explain here in a few verses that we'll read. He says why he was left down here. And the truth of the matter is why the rest of us are left down here. Philippians chapter 1, why don't you look over to verse 20, please. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ. Amen? And to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Okay? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait betwixt. He has these, sometimes I get a little double-minded. For I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have two desires. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is, what's the next two words, class? Far better. He didn't just say better. It's far better. Having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And so what Paul is saying, guess what? I'd rather die and go to heaven. But if I go to heaven, I can't help you. I want you to turn to one other verse. Make a left. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Of course, the church at Corinth, they were doubting the resurrection. We often at a graveside service will use 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul begins to just correct and clarify some things. But I like this verse goes along with the truths there we just read. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. Paul explains that there is a resurrection and there's life after death. But he goes on to say, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And you know, there's a lot to be said there. One thing he's saying, listen, life is really, if you don't understand that there's life after death, and for those that are saved, we get to be with Jesus for eternity, it's sort of a bummer down here. But if you understand that, listen, this old body is going to start, you get all the itis brothers, bursitis, arthritis, and, you know, tendonitis, get a little older, and you start getting pain, and you start getting sick, and you go from no glasses to bifocals, and pretty soon there's probably trifocals. Heaven's just around the corner. We're going through this series. It's a four-step path to help people to grow. And one reason is to help all of us to grow spiritually and get closer to the Lord, because he desires our closeness. And then also that we can help others. And I want us to understand this as we go through this four-step process. I just sort of changed gears here because the verses we just read are going to go to the message in just a moment, but I'm just sort of reviewing. Please understand this, okay? A new Christian, I believe it was Lee Robertson said something like this. The first 3 months of a Christian, they're more open to God and his word than any other time. Just amazing. You ever talk to a new Christian that truly gets born again? They're excited about God. They're just excited. You say, why? It's newborn babes desire the sincere. You ever see a baby? What's the first thing a baby does when it comes out? That's not crying. He's looking for, he or she's looking for some milk. Okay. New Christians. But you know, sometimes what we do, we sort of stumble because we're spiritual fathers and we're spiritual mothers. See, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to, that little baby needs some help. And so I want to challenge our church as there's new Christians coming into the church and they get saved and then they get baptized and they begin to grow. Let's help them to get on a path of spiritual growth. I mentioned the Chinese lady. My daughter met, she was at jury duty. She was not at court like some of us go to court, but she was at jury duty. And she met a Chinese lady. And this Chinese lady, I think she came from Taiwan. And she was also there for jury duty. And my daughter invited her to church. And she thought she was a Christian, but she wasn't a Christian. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. And she got saved. And then she lives here in Long Beach, but she's bilingual, but there's a lot of Chinese people at our church in Monterey Park, so she drives out there. And then last Sunday, I preached on discipleship, and she got baptized last Sunday. And she came out of the water of baptism, and she went and she changed, and I went to congratulate her, and she said, I want to be a disciple of Christ now. Now, some of us old-timers, we were yawning during the preaching, okay? Let's help. By the way, us old-timers, we need to be disciples of Christ, too. And so we got Brother Mario over here, and he was baptized a couple weeks ago here in the church, and he's sizzling for God. He's on fire. I don't know if his doctrine's all right. You know, new Christians, they've heard some things, and they've watched some Christian television, and their doctrine might be off. But I'll tell you what, he has a heart for God. He went soul winning. He showed up for soul winning yesterday, and he went out with Charlie, Chanty, who else? Sir Paul, the fearsome foursome. And they went soul winning, and Mario witnessed for the first, he got to witness and go out soul winning for his first time. And he's starting to give the gospel, and he said, would you like to get saved? And the guy says, yes. Mario's going, really? Are you sure? He's like, I'm not sure how to draw the net in. And the guy got saved. Man, he went to the prayer meeting last night. He was praising God. Let's help these new Christians get doctrinally sound and get on the path to love God and to love others and serve God and serve others. We said step one is loving God. We must be saved to love God. The brother here on Thursday night, the evangelist, had preached. He said, Charles Spurgeon said he was concerned that maybe, and he doesn't know because none of us know the hearts of man, only God does. But he said he was concerned that 50% of his congregation was not even born again. That was Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s. Then we said step two is loving others. Jesus said he wants us to love each other the way he loved us. That's bringing the bar way up here. We cannot do that by ourselves. We have to walk in the Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. We say in our church, this is just in our setting, the best way to love and be loved is in the Sunday school class. It's not the only way. You say, why? Because it's a smaller group. And you get to know people, especially you come into a church and there's all different groups and different ages. There's singles and there's couples and there's older folks. And you see the Cambodian people over there and the Spanish come in. We leave, they come in. And all these people coming in and out. You say, where's the first stop to be loved and to love? It's in our setting, it's Sunday school. And then we shared that serving God was step three. And Jesus said, I want a certain type of servant. He said, I want a disciple. I want my servants to be disciples. And a disciple is one that Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Be willing. It's not going to happen to everybody. But if God calls you to Africa, be willing to go. whatever God wants you to do, be willing to do it. And that's a decision. Okay? You can't just say, well, I'm going to wait until it comes and then I'll decide then. No, you've already decided not to. And Jesus said, you go from being a Christian to being a disciple, and a disciple is saying, Jesus, I surrender all to you, I give. Everything I own, my money's yours. My wife is yours. My husband's yours. I know some of you are saying, can you keep him, Jesus? Okay? My children are yours. My belongings are yours. We said that step three. And this morning I have about 20 minutes. Thursday night, that's what Shaw said. She said, I want to go to discipleship class. She said, I want to be a disciple. And Thursday night, in the midweek service, we will start discipleship for the whole church. And we have a discipleship booklet. And I want to challenge you, if you're new in our church, why don't you come here on Thursday night? And we're going to help you to get on a path of spiritual growth. And that, by the way, everybody, it's for everybody. It's not just for new people. But serving others is step number four. Loving God, loving others, serving God, and serving others. Serving others can start with soul winning. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Winning people to Christ. Aren't you glad someone shared the gospel with you? Okay, you didn't get saved by osmosis. If you're born again, if you're saved, somebody shared. I'm glad that when my brother got saved at Fort Lewis, Washington, now I may have been saved before that, but he definitely gave me the assurance of my. I'm glad he called me on the phone and gave me the gospel over the phone. I'm sure Chuck Castle over here on Father's Day is glad that his son here in Long Beach called him in Las Vegas and gave him the greatest gift that any father can be given. He gave him the gift as he offered him the gospel and he got saved. Serving others, really, it starts with sharing the gospel, getting people saved. By the way, we're all different. Some of us are extroverts. And we're just, our soul winning techniques might be a little different. Carl Hatch. Anyone ever heard of Carl Hatch? Carl Hatch is old, he's in heaven now, old time, great soul winner. I mean, Carl Hatch would go to the airport, and in the airport, he would go to the bathrooms and go to the bathroom stalls and knock on the door. Somebody's in here. And he'd put a track underneath. He says, I'm giving you something to read. Read that, and it'll show you how you can go to heaven. Now, I'm not quite there yet. He'd go on the airplane, and probably you couldn't do this now, but he'd go on the airplane, you know, once they're at the right, when you know, you don't have to have your seatbelts on, you go to the bathroom, get up and stretch a little bit. He'd walk, and he'd go to each passenger until the stewardess would stop him. And he'd say, here's something for you. It'll show you how you can go to heaven just in case the plane doesn't make it to your destination. He was in the airport with Tony Hudson, and Tony Hudson said, Brother Hatch, do you know who that is right there? And he said, no, I don't know who it is. He said, that's Amy Grant. He said, that's Amy Grant. She's a Christian singer, but she's sort of gone secular. She's sort of gone secular. And Brother Hatch, if you know Brother Hatch, he ain't afraid of anybody. He said, let me go talk to her. And he said, Miss Grant, you know his voice is, he said, my name's Carl Hatch. How you doing? And he said, are you 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven? And she said, yes, I am. And he said, give me your testimony. You know, and she gave a very clear testimony that she was saved. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, yeah, have you gone secular, not Christian music? She said, well, and she's sort of going around. I wrote this down. He said, why'd you quit on God?
Should I quit on God? By the way, I wouldn't say this. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, why'd you quit on God? 10 times. Why'd you quit on God? Why'd you quit on God? She started crying. Men, quit making the ladies cry all the time. She had her 2 children there. You know what he said? Are your children saved? She said something like, I'm not sure. By the way, Christians, make sure our children are saved. He said, can I talk to him about Christ? He witnessed to both of them. They got saved. Yeah. Now, some of you would probably be getting your, hey, there's, so-and-so. Who is that? He's like, first thing he wants to know, are you saved? And that's okay. Okay? I'll tell you this. One thing we can all do is we can have tracts in our pocket. Yes, I heard another story about Carl Hatch. He was, how many remember Burt Reynolds? All you old timers, okay, all right. Burt Reynolds, though, I don't even know if he's alive anymore, All the people we talk about are dead, right? That age is. Burt Reynolds is an old, a movie star, and he was in Atlanta, and Carl Hatch was in Atlanta, and Burt Reynolds was doing a movie. And you know when they're doing a movie, they got all these movie trucks, the Hollywood type, these big trucks with all their movie paraphernalia and all that. And then someone said, Burt Reynolds is right over, and they're filming right over here. And he's going, is he? He said, I'm going to go witness to him. He walks over there, and I'm sure there's security, right? I'm sure there's security. Somehow, he got under the radar, and someone said, hey, he said, where's Burt? They're going, that trailer right there. He got up somehow. I don't know if he ducked around, went under the trailer right up, and he knocked. Burt Reynolds comes to the door. Burt, how you doing? Filming movies? He said, my name's Carl Hatch. He said, I come here because I'm concerned about your soul. And he started witnessing to him. And he and Burt Reynolds began to give him some off-the-wall stuff, why he thought he was on his way to heaven. He said, Burt, you're going to split hell wide open. He told Burt Reynolds that. He gave him the clear plan of salvation, and he was a gentleman about it, and Burt Reynolds was a gentleman, but he says, no thanks. And then he said, Burt, I like your watch. He said, you got a good taste for it. It was a $30,000 Rolex watch. He walked away. No kidding. About a week or two later, Carl Hatch got a box sent from Burt Reynolds. He opened it. It was a $30,000 Rolex watch. He said, man, I didn't really agree with you, but I like your boldness and courage. Amen? We serve others also by being involved in ministries that help others. We say step one, loving God and loving others, and then serving serving God and serving others. Serving others is soul winning. By the way, During Easter, we're going to have 50,000, here in Long Beach, 50,000 invitations to give out to people, because more people will show up to a church service on Easter than any other day. You say, what do we want to do? We want to try to get them saved. Okay, 15,000 in Monterey Park. That's, by the way, that's one thing I don't really know how to give the gospel yet, where everybody can give a tract that has the gospel on it and an invitation to church. But ministry, here's the thing. Every one of us, if you're a saint, okay, saint doesn't wear a halo, you're a Christian. If you're a saint, every saint is supposed to be involved in the work of the ministry. Every saint. And so we are, over the course of the next couple months, we're going to teach and preach and coach and challenge everybody. Everybody. You say, oh, pastor, I've disqualified myself. No, you're not disqualified. And I talked to somebody this past week, and really, they pulled a bad, sinful stunt. Okay? They did something that was not right. It was ungodly. But I looked at them. I said, you know what God's going to do? Because they've turned the corner, and they have a heart for God now. They're growing. And they've recommitted themselves to the Lord. I said, God is going to use even your failure to help other people. And so involvement. We want to challenge you. By the way, in about 6 weeks, we're going to have a Sunday. It's called Involvement Sunday. Ministry involvement. You say, what? How many have ever been to a job fair? You ever been to a job fair? They got tables, you know, come and you apply. We're going to have tables all over the place with all the ministries of our church, and you're going to visit, and we want to challenge you to take the step to get involved in the work of the ministry. Oh, I'm new. I don't know what to do. We're going to help you. We're going to help you. Serving others is what the Lord left us down here to do, and that's what Paul said. We just read that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 26. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. The Lord has given all of us gifts that enable us to serve others. By the way, this coming Thursday night, it's discipleship kickoff. We are going to teach a little bit on spiritual gifts, okay? Not gifts that no longer exist, gifts that do exist, okay? We're going to teach, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you a spiritual gift test. And we're going to help you to find out what your spiritual gift is, and then that spiritual gift that God has given you, every Christian has a spiritual gift. Then you can take that gift and say, wow, this is where my passions and desires are at Pacific Baptist. I can use them in the ministry. And we're going to help you with that. Serving others is what brings real joy. Acts 20, verse 35. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than what, class? Say, who are the blessed ones? The givers. And then we read in Ephesians 4, it's the job of the pastors, the teachers, the job of the church to prepare the saints to do the work of the ministry, okay? We're not just up here to preach, and we're not supposed to do everything. One of the things we get to do is train you and love you and teach you so that you can experience the joy of serving in the ministry. And serving is for everybody. I mentioned discipleship is for everybody. Serving's for everybody. There's never a good time to be a disciple. There's never a good time to tithe. Okay? And then we're busy and we live in this complex communication and technology, and there's always something else to do, but it's almost like, well, I'll serve God later. No, God wants to serve him now. I mentioned this to Faithfulness Rally and the staff. I didn't mention this in church because I didn't get permission to mention it. While Brother Lyle was here, we had this team come from out of state to help us with our building. Brother Lyle is the oldest man of the group, and he's 67. He's not real old, but he's 67. But our church didn't know this. Brother Lyle has leukemia. Brother Lyle has been traveling around the world, and one of his stops for 2 weeks was with us. And he's not a missionary, per se, to give the gospel. He's a missionary to help build physical churches. And while he was here, he has leukemia. By the way, one of you gave him the bug. Like our whole church has had the bug. If you haven't had it, you're going to get it. And he got the flu while he was here. You know what he did? He sweated it out at night, but he didn't miss a day on the job site. You say, why? Well, you say, Pastor, what's the point? Serving God's for everybody. It's for everybody. And then to truly serve others, we must understand the judgment seat of Christ. I preached an entire message a couple weeks ago on Sunday night about the judgment seat. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You see, you're not going to be real motivated to serve others if you don't understand that there's rewards here and there's rewards in heaven. I read this morning about William Borden. By the way, let me say it takes time, talents, and treasures to serve others. And you're not going to give up your time, talents, and treasures if you think everything's just going to happen down here on earth. William Borden, does Borden still have their Borden dairies or Borden milk? We still have Borden milk out there, Borden cheese, is that right? Okay. Well, Borden, the Borden family, very wealthy family, William Borden was very rich, and his dad sent him on a year's, like, I don't know, early 1900s, maybe late 1800s, on a trip around the world. They were a Christian family, to just see the world. And he came back, and during his trip, he said God worked in his heart to go to the mission field. Make a long story short, we don't have all the time. Actually, he went to one of the Ivy League schools and almost like brought revival to it as a young man. And he gave up his wealth to go to the mission field. He was going to, I believe it was China, but he was going to reach work with the Muslims. This is somewhere. Maybe it wasn't China. I can't remember. But he first went to Egypt and to learn the Arabic language and understand the culture, the Muslim culture. And he contracted, I believe it was spinal meningitis, was it? And he died like a month or two later. And everybody was saying, wow, he wasted his wealth. He wasted his life. Never got to the mission field. No, William Borden's testimony and what he did for Christ spread, and it challenged many. And when he got to heaven, he was rewarded. Amen? Oh, yeah. Amen. We were told last week that we had a men's meeting a few months ago, and Al Perez was diagnosed with liver cancer. And they told him at that time he didn't have much time to live. He's about my age, and maybe a little older, a couple years older. And his testimony while he was with his cancer was just phenomenal. And I wound him up. I said, get up in front of our men. I want our people to hear a dying man dying with grace. And he got up downstairs. Some of you men remember. And he just gave a testimony. I can't remember what he said, but it was good. He said just something like, hey, listen, I've got cancer, but I'm giving the rest of my life to God. I'm not going to get it bitter. And he'd show up in Monterey Park for Saturday for soul winning with his cancer. Many times, probably 6-8 weeks ago, we had a work day. He was out there. He's a painter by trade. He was up on the lift all day. All day. He didn't do a four-hour tour. He didn't do a two-hour tour. He did an all-day tour on the job site. We got news about a week ago that the doctor said he doesn't have much time to live. My wife and I, we went out to visit him, talked to him, and he just, what a man that's, he's, and this is hard to say, he's dying right. Brother Kyle came, and Susan, and Brother Al said, Brother Al told Kyle, he said, you know, God and his word has taught me how to live. He said, but you know what God and his word has also done? He's taught me how to die. Part of serving others is learning how to die. You say, what do you mean? Because we're all going to stand before God. And Karina is saying just a little bit ago, we don't know exactly how it's going to be, but there's going to be, for those that are not saved, you have a white throne judgment. For those of us that are saved, we have the judgment seat of Christ. And the difference is we're not being judged for our sins, but we get rewards in heaven. Let's bow our heads for just a moment.